to move to the coin toss this morning, let's look at today's keys to the games. First, Cam, the keys for Mrs. Julie Buchtenkirk.
Mrs.?
Yeah, we're married. It's all legit.
Well, right.
There's paperwork
right.
and everything.
Well, what?
Paperwork.
Oh, gotcha.
It's
right.
legit.
Well, and clearly we all know that, but the marriage part.
Yeah.
But I thought letting women in the game was just a one-time occurrence in last year's teach-off.
No. I how quickly we forget last year's fiasco. Remember, Kurt, last year he kind of went a little pansy on us. There was the pink Snuggie. There was the facial. He pretty much lost his dignity and his manhood in one fell swoop. And Julie had to step in and save the game. In fact, do we have a replay of that?
What's going on?
I just can't do this anymore. I mean, this man facade is just way too much. I just can't do it.
Okay. Now, you know what I do when I get really down?
No, what?
Okay. I give myself a facial.
I'm willing to do anything, Julie. Anything. I just can't do this.
There. Doesn't that feel better?
Much better.
Okay. All right. Anything for you, Kirk. Anything for you, Pansy.
Entirely my fault. I don't think any of us will ever forget the 2013 Emasculation Bowl. So, Eric, obviously you know her best. What are the keys of the game for Julie?
I do know her. One of the things Julie's going to have to rely on is her experience. This is her third day, game day teach-off. She's taught here a number of times at Cross Point. Prior to that, she was part of the teaching team at a church in Northern California. She spoke at women's events, retreats, that kind of thing. So she has to go with her West Coast offense,
Ooh,
so to
quick
speak.
Quick deliveries and let them run away.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Now, one of the things she is going to have to worry about is her misuse of metaphors. She has a tendency to combine metaphors together. You've heard the saying, don't be a bump on a log or don't be a stick in the mud. She combines those and says, don't be a stick on a log. So she's going to have to watch for those types of things. But really, bottom line for Julie is she just has to show up because Kurt has lost this thing every year. So it shouldn't be too difficult for her.
Right you are, Eric. Julie, no, we know she brings a strong game. But so now let's get to the keys to the game for Kurt. First, he's going to have to block out all distractions, and he's going to have to stay strong. He can't have any pansy breakdowns. I mean, he falls apart faster than Peyton Manning in the playoffs. Oh, now. No need to boo, especially you, Jeff Moe, in the back. No need to boo. We know we're all worried about it happening tonight. Now, speaking of staying strong, it seems like we talk about this every year, but he's got to use words that actually exist. He has this tendency to make up words on the spot, like spectacular. Like I did earlier. And lastly, he needs to protect his hair. He's going to have to watch the hair. Great hair, no fuss.
Great key to the game right there. Well, the field is set, and we're ready for some football.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Introducing today's starting lineup, the NFC champion representing the Seattle Seahawks, Julie, I'm married to the hottie in the booth, Buchtenkirk. And the AFC champion, representing the Denver Broncos, Kurt, don't call me a pansy, Walters. And today's referee, Mark, don't mistake me for Steve Urkel, Walters. Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, let's have a good game. You know the rules? Kurt, you called in the air.
Tails is what I'm going to be kicking today.
And it
Woo!
Is heads.
Oh, every well, year.
Now, that's
every
clearly
year
not surprising. Losers just always lose.
You're exactly right, Cam, and we haven't even officially begun yet.
Yes.
Julie, your ball.
All right. Well, good morning. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Julie Buchtenkirk, and I am so...
Touchdown!
Oh, all she did was say her name.
Yes,
I mean, I do that every weekend. I introduce myself. Nobody jumps up
well,
and cheers.
I there's just something to say about society forgetting what a good introduction
It was
all
a name.
Means.
It was her
it,
name.
It was. I was moved. I laughed with her.
Oh, my word. Talk about pansy.
I cried
pansy.
With her.
Thanks.
It was touching. I 7 points.
All right.
All right, Kurt, your ball.
Well, you know what? That was a controversial call, but Kim, I have to agree with that because one, saying Butch and Kirk is not easy to say. And two, she captured my attention right away.
Oh, I see what's going on here. Well played, sir. Someone is not sleeping on the couch tonight. No doubt.
All right, well, just a word on what we're doing here today. You know, regardless of your spiritual orientation, this holiday, Super Bowl Sunday, is a holiday all Americans enjoy. And so, you know, a few years ago, we thought, you know, a lot of times people that go to church on weekends are a bit anal, a bit uptight, angry, bitter, you name it. We thought, you know, there should be at least be one weekend a year that we do nothing but have fun. And so hopefully you're having fun here today. Anybody having fun this morning? And, you know, and we believe that God, you know, gets excited about that and that he meets us here as well. So let's pray. God, we're thankful we can gather in this room. And, you know, we believe that you created us to laugh. We've been laughing. You also created us to grow. And I pray that you would help us to do both today. Amen.
Well, wow. Kardashian marriages last longer than that.
Yeah, I know. And he's a pastor, you know.
So first let me say, my name is Kurt, by the way. I am a pastor. They do call me a pastor here. And we're really excited you're here this morning. We are starting this brand new series called Friends with Benefits. And we're going to be looking over the next weeks at, you know, how to get beneath the veneer relationships, those kind of drinking buddy, you know, friendships where we just hang out and the relationship never really goes anywhere. But how do we actually get underneath the surface? And we're going to be taking a look at what we were created for and exploring what a friendship looks like with real benefits. And, you know, the kind of friend that you can talk to anyone, anything about at any time, you know, you can tell, you know, reveal whatever you're dealing with to that friend. And listen, those kinds of friends are actually very, very rare. In fact, if you're younger here today, if you're maybe a high school student or a college student, you may be sitting there thinking, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, friends, there's nothing to talk about. I mean, you just have them. But see, understand, you know, as you get older in life, friendships just don't come as naturally as they do when you're in high school, for instance. I mean, in high school, you got team settings and you're in classes with people. I mean, it's a natural kind of breeding ground for friendships. You go to college and you got fraternities, sororities, clubs, I mean, all kinds of ways to connect with people. Or maybe you don't go to college and you just kind of go out and begin to work and bam, you're off to the races trying to make your mark on the world. And, you know, maybe your deal is you're out starting a family and you're really building into that part of your life. And before long, you look around and you think, you know, I just don't have any real friendships in my life. And it's not like there aren't people around. You know, a lot of times we look around and we're surrounded by people. You know, there are people that know who I am, but they don't really know me, and I am not really known by them. And so, you know, we oftentimes, you know, begin to realize, man, I'm missing these kinds of relationships. And you know, and at the same time, there's still stuff going on in our lives, let's be honest. I mean, there's stuff we need to be talking about. And so before long, we start reverting back to some of those high school relationships, those, you know, those friends that were, you know, you could share anything with in college, and we think, man, I need something like that right now. Because we realize friends with real benefits are valuable. They're valuable. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Great foundation. Touchdown. Julie, your ball.
All right. Okay, so, all right, Kurt's right. Friends are valuable. And one reason is because friends reveal who they really are, right? I mean, when you go beyond the surface level and you begin to cultivate a deeper friendship with somebody, I mean, you've moved beyond having to manage each other's perceptions, right, of one another. I mean, you remember, you just be who you are, you're just hanging out. You know, you can reveal who you are and be safe about it. Now, when Jesus revealed who he really was, people thought he was totally nuts because he was going around saying some crazy, crazy things. And people were having a hard time with what he was saying. Because he was saying things like, the Father and I are one, or if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. And the Jewish people who he was speaking these things to, this is like outrageous to them. This is blasphemy to them. Because Jesus is basically saying, hey, I'm God. And one of the things he said to them, which they freaked out, was when he had said to them, well, you guys know Abraham, and of course the Jewish people would, he's the father of the Jewish nation. He said, well, I was around long before Abraham because I am. And he was saying his name. He was saying, I am Yahweh, I am God. And they just did not take to this very well. And, you know, Jesus, when you really think about it, he was either a raving lunatic or he was Lord. And when he reveals himself, you know, you might be wondering still. You might be in a place where you're not quite sure. You know, you're still thinking through this Jesus thing and who he might be. And if you're searching, that is awesome. That's a good place to be. And at Cross Point, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so with that in mind, I want to share this next scripture with you. And this is another crazy thing that Jesus says to us. Let's take a look at John 15:15. Now keep in mind, he is the Son of God, and this is what he is saying to you and I. He says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." He's saying, you know, there's no, I have revealed everything to you. There are no secrets now between us. Now, I consider myself a servant, though. And by that, I mean I have placed myself under his lordship. And I acknowledge that he is the king of my life. He's the boss. He's God. But what Jesus is telling me and you is that, well, but we're also friends. And see, if you think about a master-servant relationship, the servant usually never knows what's going on, right? I mean, there's no, like, mutual sharing and personal sharing between a master and a servant. I mean, usually the servant, you know, they don't know what the business objective is or what the ultimate goal is. Usually a servant knows their role, right? They know they have to hit the mark and they have to just do their job. But Jesus is saying, well, there's more. He's saying, I'm not going to call you a peon. I'm not just going to call you a nobody. No. He's like, I call you a friend because we now have a deeper relationship. I have revealed myself to you and who I am. And real friends do that. They reveal who they are. It's not about managing perceptions. And I was trying to think of like a good example to share. And probably the one that came to my mind that best illustrates this was a friend I had back in California, and her name was Jennifer. And when we had moved to California, she was one of the first people I met in our neighborhood. And we had some casual acquaintances here and there, you know, or visits. But there was one morning where she said, hey, bring your kids down. We both had toddlers, and, you know, let's have some coffee. And so I thought, okay, good. And as I walked in her house, I immediately realized that she had not prepared for my arrival. Because there was like breakfast mess all over the counter, there were clothes everywhere, there was laundry, clean laundry, dirty laundry in piles. And I mean, she didn't care that her house was in disarray. And I'm like, this is not normal. Because let's be honest, especially those of you who host small groups, you know, you tidy up, right? I don't care if you've been friends with somebody for a while, you know, usually you still will tidy up if somebody's coming, right? I mean, because you're just, you know, you might even cancel because, oh my gosh, the house isn't straightened up enough. I better not have coffee with so-and-so this morning. She didn't care. She was not worried about managing my perception of what I thought of her. And it was so refreshing. Because what it communicated to me is I sat there amidst all this was, you know what? She just wants to deepen this friendship. She didn't care about the laundry. She didn't care about all that. It was like, no, that can wait. This is more important to develop our friendship together. And it was so refreshing. She wasn't worried about impressing me with like Martha Stewart, you know, housekeeping prowess. And it immediately kind of lowered that barrier instantly for us just to be able to be who we are. And so real friends do that. They reveal who they really are to one another.
Touchdown!
Yes!
I figured. Excellent. I mean, anyone who is willing to reveal their dirty laundry, literally.
Yes.
That's true friendship. Walter, your ball.
Holy dirty draws, Batman. That girl is good.
Oh, you don't need to tell me. She is fantastic. Well spoken, well thought out. And by the way, she does great laundry as well. I'm just putting that out there.
Well, you know, when I first received Jesus into my life, I had a number of spiritual mentors that spoke into my life. They kind of helped grow me as a follower of Jesus, you know, teaching me basic things like, you know, reading my Bible, the importance of that, the importance of praying regularly, you know, giving 10% of what I was making at the time. It happened to be $50. I was in like junior high working a lawn business. You know, they said, you give that to the local church. Things like journaling and sharing my faith. I mean, just kind of, and I'm thankful for those early friends that built into me. But, you know, as I look back on that, I realized the one thing that no one ever taught me how to or what to do. And as I thought about this, I thought, you know, this is really maybe the most important spiritual discipline, and that is the discipline of being a great friend. And, you know, sometimes we think that when it comes to friendship, I mean, we just catch a friendship like we catch a virus, right? I mean, we just go out, and man, you catch it. No, friendships are actually cultivated. It's actually putting yourself out there in certain situations at certain times, being willing to, you know, to put your dirty laundry out there at times and open yourself up to this kind of friendship. Because, you know, one of the things I've been learning and over the last 15, 20 years is that real friends, friends with real benefits, are voluntarily vulnerable. All right, it's almost like when you become a friend, you're creating a voluntary expose of your life. You know,
whoa,
I mean,
whoa.
Penalty: improper procedure for the use of expose.
Expose. It means to reveal yourself. It means to show who you are.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's looking for an expose.
I know
this morning.
I'm not. No.
So, you know, the one thing I began to realize is this is a pretty big spiritual discipline, this whole idea of being a friend. In fact, if you look at the Bible, you know, any of the heroes of the Bible, I mean, you know, you name them, every superhero of the Bible was a great, great friend. Take, for instance, the Apostle Paul. I mean, Paul, it was his name. He was called the Apostle Paul because it meant that he was sent, and he was sent to, you know, be a pioneer. He was sent to develop churches, to start new churches, to start them and then go on to the next place. And so this is what Paul would do, and he would write letters to the places. He'd start churches, then he'd go off to another location. He'd write letters back to the previous churches, and God supernaturally kind of spoke to him through these letters. These letters actually made it into the Bible. In fact, Paul is probably responsible for penning more of the New Testament than any other figure that we see in the New Testament. And he's writing these letters. He's an incredibly driven guy. And you know, we just realize that he's driving things. He's taking, you know, these things that are nothing and developing them. He's a pioneer in spirit. And let's be honest, he's engaging the business leaders. He goes into the business leader communities. He reaches into the top echelon of the movers and shakers in the community. He invites them into what he is doing. All right, and let's be honest. One of the other things is he's a hard ass.
No!
Right?
Whoa!
Now, be careful there. Presence. Be careful.
Yeah, look at the face. Look, he wants to say it again.
You know, but you know, Kurt, he's always like, hey, I wouldn't say anything here that I wouldn't say in my back patio, yada, yada, yada.
I just can't believe that didn't draw a flag.
Well, you know, the referee is his brother. So his brother has been on his back patio, and he's probably heard that and worse,
and probably
sadly
ducked foreign objects while at it.
So anyway, Paul, you know, here's the deal about Paul. Paul bums people out, all right? Paul rubs people the wrong way. I mean, this is a dude who, if you were to interact with him, you're not always going to like what he's pushing you. He's pushing you to grow. He's pushing you to change. I mean, this dude, you know, he's been shipwrecked. He's gone through amazing pain. He's been, you know, naked and left for dead numerous times in his life. I mean, this is a guy who has endured much. And there's this fascinating interaction that we find in the book of Acts. And this is where he's leaving a church that he started. It's actually a community that he raised up, a group of people that began to establish a church in this community. And then he leaves them. He's getting ready to leave them and go to another place. And take a look at what it says in the book of Acts right here. Acts 20 says, "And when they had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all." And get this right here. It says, "They embraced Paul and kissed him." I mean, I read that and I thought, man, this is weird right here. I mean, these are like pioneer, venture driving, out developing business guys right here. And these guys like wept right here. All right, let me tell you something. You know, if you're a great orator, people don't weep when you leave. All right, if you're a hard ass, always pushing people, always, you know, being that person that rubs people the wrong way, people don't weep when you leave. All right, if you're one of those, you know, or pioneers, entrepreneurs, always starting new ventures that are even being a blessing to people's life, people don't weep when you leave. You know why people weep when you leave? People weep when you leave because you've been willing to get beneath the veneer and get vulnerable with who you are, voluntarily vulnerable, and it actually creates an environment for friendship. Thank you.
Touchdown! This is the end of the first half.
Wow, that was a rough drive for Walters.
Yeah, you are right, but in typical Walters form, he stumbled through it. So that does conclude our first half. In just a moment, we're going to get ready for our fifth annual Game Day Halftime Show. Always a fun time. A little bit of Bruno Mars, a little bit of Red Hot Chili Peppers, a little bit more. All mashed together. But first, this commercial break.
Touchdown.
Well, how about that? First of all, how about that halftime show from PJ and the band? And how about that commercial? That commercial was actually created by Crosspoint's very own John and Holly Lambert. That was for the 2010 Doritos Submit Your Own commercial to the 2010 Super Bowl.
Whoa.
What? I can't say Super Bowl?
No.
Can I say football at least?
Yeah.
All right. So can I say the NFL?
No. Copyright infringement laws. They'll sue our hard ass.
Oh boy. We have set a record for that word being used in a church on a Sunday morning. Now, can I say Denver Broncos?
But
I can say Peyton Manning, surely, right?
Why couldn't you?
Okay. Now, here in this part of the world, I can say the Indianapolis Colts.
Nope.
So I can say Peyton Manning, but I can't say Denver.
Nope.
Okay. Can I say, let me try this out. Can I say Denveropolis? Can I say that?
Well, sure, Kurt Walters, because that word doesn't exist. It's not a place.
It's right here in my script, so it's real. This is ridiculous. We can't say anything here. Now, we're getting ready to go back into the second half of this game that apparently we can't talk about, second half of this Denveropolis big game or whatever it is. But before we get back onto the field, I want to tell you about a number of different things coming up here at the Crosspoint Broadcasting System, I believe is what it said on that card. Next weekend, we continue our series here at Crosspoint called Friends with Benefits. We hope you're back with us next Sunday for that. Also, if you're not in a Life Together group or you are in one, they are getting back going this week. If you'd like to be in a group and you haven't signed up for one, you can online at our website or mark that on your connection card and we'll get you connected to a group. And then explore Crosspoint. If you are newer to the Crosspoint community, this is a great opportunity for you to come learn a little bit more about what happens here at Crosspoint. It's coming up on March 2nd from 12 to 1 following the second service. Lunch is provided, child care is provided. Again, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about Crosspoint, mark that on your connection card. We'll be in contact with you as we get closer to that date.
Great information, Eric. Thank you very much. Now, all right, everyone, let's welcome back the teams for the second half. Woo. And as we left it, we are all tied up on the gridiron, 14-14. Hold the whistle in your mouth. Don't make a move. I just want to see if you can hold the flamboyant pose. But no. Okay, let's throw it to the field.
This is the start of the second half. Walters, your ball.
All right, well, you know, in the first half, we looked at how, you know, vulnerability is a key part of any kind of friendship. I mean, getting beneath the veneer, going beneath just drinking buddies, you know, actually revealing a part of who we are. And part of that has to do with not managing perceptions anymore, you know, being willing to actually let people see us for the real people that we are. Again, the Apostle Paul, one of the superheroes from the New Testament, he actually gives us a fantastic picture of what this looks like of great friendship. And one of the keys that we'll see is transparency. You know, Paul's the guy who says, hey, you know, there's certain times where I want to do certain things and I don't do them. And then there's other times where I do things that I don't want to do. And let me tell you what, this is like biblical superhero status right here, right? I mean, this is a guy, when he says this, remember, this is Paul. This is Paul who started all these churches in the New Testament. This is superhero. Hero, you know, spiritual mentor Paul right here, and he's saying, hey, I've got problems, and you know, if I'm really honest, my life is not all put together, all right? And then he even takes it deeper. He goes a step deeper. He's mentoring this guy by the name of Timothy, and Timothy's a guy that he's been kind of spiritually building into, just kind of being like a father to, and Timothy's out on his ventures. He's helping him with these new churches that are starting, and he leaves Timothy in one of these locations that he's at, and then he begins writing to him, sending him these words of encouragement. And here's what he says. Here's one of the things he says to him as he's building into him. He says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And get this, listen to what Paul says, of whom I am the worst. All right, the Apostle Paul says, man, if you want to talk about sinners in the world, he said, I'm the worst. He said, he doesn't play you're in my game. He's not like, well, I used to be a bad sinner. He's not like, oh, I've got some understandable problems in my life. All right, I mean, that's what I hear all the time. Man, I've got a few problems. You know what Paul says? Paul's like, he's real. He's like, man, if you want to talk about sinners, listen, I am the worst. I mean, I tell you what, when I look at the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, this is probably one of the healthiest senses of self-awareness that I ever have seen. I mean, here's a guy who's willing to say, you know what? I don't have to manage perceptions. I don't have to make you think that I'm somebody that I'm not. You're going to see the real me. And, you know, there's something about having a friend that you can be transparent with in this way. In fact, that's one of the things that, helps us grow in our friends with real benefits. And so, you know, I've had a few friends like that in my life, and I want to welcome my good friend Angelo Brown to come up here and join me on the platform. Let's welcome him.
Whoa, looks like Kurt is phoning in a friend.
Now, this is an interesting move because he's bringing up Angelo, and I'm not even sure Angelo is a football fan. From my understanding,
Back up.
I'm just reading the script again.
Okay.
You have to give him credit. He's one of three people in the world that has a Joe Flacco jersey.
Good point. It kind of proves my point, maybe a little bit, but go ahead.
I want a challenge.
Are we sure about the color of that flag?
Oh. That's a yellow flag. You can't even challenge with a yellow flag. This is supposed to be a red flag.
Oh, well, whatever. Red, yellow. Okay, this is my challenge right here. Look at this now. This is just way too many men on the field. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That is just not challengeable. This exemplifies friendship, if anything.
I think this is a good call. I mean, if anybody knows the dirt on Kurt, it's going to be Angelo.
I would have to agree. This is going to get good.
You know, Angelo and I do go way back. In fact, I think I've known Angelo longer than I've not known him. I met him in college, and we began to become friends. We've traveled together. We've done spring break together. Some things we won't talk about that we've been a part of. We've chased down a glass table that you broke in Costa Rica. That we had to replace, on a mission trip. I mean, we've had a lot of experiences. Angelo is somebody who has seen the good in my life, has seen the ugly. He's walked in my house and seen the hole in the wall, where I threw a doorknob through the wall. When I was angry, I was changing it. My kids were kind of, doing something. And to get their attention, I didn't throw it at them, just so you know. But I threw it, and it just right through. So everybody want to know, why is the hole in the wall? Recently, a year ago, when our lending package got pulled out from under us, before we started the launch pad, I had an email ready to go. I mean, things you and your mama would not want to read. I mean, F-bombs, you name it. It was all in there, ready to send to these people that made this commitment to us. And Angelo was one of the people who said, Kurt, he talked me down. Not one of my finer moments, to be honest with you. I'm just being really brutally honest. Angelo's seen those moments. But it always hasn't been this way. I mean, it took you a while to get to where you actually saw that.
Yeah, this actually is the new and improved Kurt, actually. the old Kurt was really about image management. So he's changed a lot, actually. He really has changed.
Preacher part, had the whole deal going on. And, would you say? I mean, this whole idea of transparency, how would you say that has built into our friendship and allowed our friendship to go much deeper than it did in those early years?
Well, I think when you let go of having it all together image, because,
And let's be honest, that went way out the window a long time ago.
Yeah, it's all, no more image management. He let it all go. There's nothing there anymore. So, when he decided to let go of that, our friendship changed. It wasn't about trying to impress me or anyone else. He was just trying to be himself, as you can see out here on the...
I think your phrase was, I'm going to crack this nut someday. That's what he actually would use to summarize our...
He was a hard cookie. I tell you, he was, like I said, years and years of kind of maintaining this, the pastor part, really, really stuck in there, so...
That's
awesome.
That is good.
Woo! Yes!
Touchdown!
Thank you, Angelo. That's what we need.
Yes, thank you to Angelo for being the voice of reason in Kurt's life. When you consider all the things that come into Kurt's brain at any given time, I think that's a good thing to have Angelo in his life.
I would agree, but check this out. I cannot believe it. Look at the scoreboard. For the first time.
In the lead. First time ever.
Kurt said exactly what I was going to say.
Julie, your ball.
All right. Kurt had a really great point, which is scary. Transparency, and so I'm going to keep going with that, because if Kurt could score a touchdown, then I'm definitely going to be able to score a touchdown talking about transparency. So just be ready with the whistle over there, okay? So let's see, transparency and friendship. Let's give a good example from the Old Testament. In the book of Nehemiah, which I think a couple weeks ago here at Cross Point, we started to get into Nehemiah's story just a little bit, but Nehemiah, there's a great example of being authentic. And he is a cupbearer. He is working as a cupbearer to the king. And as he's working, he is burdened because he's not with his family and friends. His homeland is Jerusalem, and he's not there. And the condition of his homeland is bad. It's in disrepair. The walls that were around the city to protect the city are now down. So he's worried about his family and friends and the people that he has back there. And instead of hiding his emotions, instead of like just putting on that front that everything is fine and everything is okay, Nehemiah gives us a great picture of what it means to be authentically transparent. And it's found in Nehemiah 2:2.
Excuse me.
2:2, which I, you know, you'll never forget that scripture. Nehemiah 2:2. So here's what the king asked me, and this is Nehemiah talking. The king said to him, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill?" Meaning the king knew that nothing was really physically wrong with Nehemiah. And he says, well, this can be nothing but sadness of heart. See, Nehemiah was normally full of joy in the presence of the king. He was smiling. And on this particular day, he wasn't. I mean, he allowed his countenance, he allowed his face to kind of show some of the distress that he was feeling. And see, that's what authenticity does. It doesn't conceal, you know, real feelings that we have in order to put up this front of everything being okay. Now, word of caution, okay? This doesn't mean that you can now leave here and emotionally throw up on every single person you see because you were told to go be authentic, okay? I mean, if you're a little too authentic with the gal at Kroger, it's not gonna deepen a relationship, okay? I mean, you're just gonna start collecting some restraining orders. So, but here's the goal, because most of us, this is what we do, right? If we're really honest. I mean, we kind of hide our feelings instead of letting, especially with the people that we know and love, instead of letting a little bit of that authentic transparency show through. Because how many times people ask you that question, right? How are you doing? Well, let's face it, life is stinking hard. All right, I mean, that's a no-brainer. That should be a touchdown, but life is hard. I mean, when we're hurt, when we're angry, when we're frustrated, you know, we hate that question coming at us. How you doing? Oh, I'm just doing fine. No, everything's not fine all the time. But you need to have a friend with benefits. A friend, I like to call my it's not fine friend. That person that you can now go to and kind of emotionally throw up on. And I do have one of those friends, and I would like to invite her to the stage and just give you a little glimpse into our friendship. So if you can invite Jalene Sparrow to the stage.
It looks like Julie's taking a play out of Kurt's old playbook here.
Right you are, Eric, and if I can be honest and transparent, there's not too many pages that are worth taking, but this is a good one.
It's very thin.
So, transparency. Now, Jalene and I, we've only been here for 4 years. We moved from California, and we've been friends for about 3. So I think our first year at Cross Point, it was like just kind of that getting to know each other kind of thing, saying hi on Sunday mornings. And probably the last year and a half is when our friendship kind of went to this, you know, emotionally throwing up stage. And for me, I think this is when it happened, kind of started that for me, was I knew Jalene's family had seen some of these doctors in Indy, and I needed their information. And so, because I was having some issues with my family and my kids, and I knew that I could probably call these doctors, but I didn't have their info. So I called you to get the doctor information. I mean, I wasn't calling to like find out any dirt on her, but I just figured, well, she's got the name and the number, and I didn't know them. So I called, and then you started just freely sharing, you know, like why we're seeing these doctors, what they've done for us and our family. And so then, you know, believe it or not, I started sharing. I mean, you know, women, we do this. So I'm on the phone. I start sharing with her why I need to see these doctors and, you know, hoping what they can do for our family. And immediately, I mean, by the end of the phone call, it was funny because I was in the car, I was doing a delivery, and I immediately knew, like, we are at a next level because I thought, oh, great, she knows the junk in my trunk. And, you know, now I know some of the junk in her trunk, you know, and so it's like we were just all of a sudden at this new level. And so I just want to say thank you because you're a friend that I can go to and say, hey, this is stuff is not fine. And here's why. But I can also call you and say, you know, give you some awesome news as well. And it's so good to have a friend like that. And so, Jalene, what is my friendship meant to you? Put her on the spot.
Well, we are awesome friends, actually. It's a blessing from above. And it really just started after worship meeting and talking in the hallways here. Then that moved to, hey, let's go take our kids. We're going to go to the park. And the kids connecting and us connecting more and getting to know each other more. And then the Lord offered another opportunity for us to go away on a weekend with some other women. Most people know when women go away together, a lot of doors are opened and conversation happens and life is shared. And we shared the word while we were together also. So after that weekend, it was just completely open. In order to continue that, when we came back, we meet for breakfast, lunch, talk, email. We go on more weekends away and just go have that time. So we just share a lot of praises and prayer concerns during the normal day. That's
good stuff. That is good. What do you say?
Touchdown!
I knew it. I can count on you for a touchdown.
Another true example of transparency.
Well done.
This is the two-minute warning. Walters.
Well, you know, if this is your first time to Cross Point, some of you may be thinking, man, this is a crazy, crazy people around here. I mean, do they do this every week? Well, not quite this crazy. But, you know, we do believe that you should have fun in church. And I know we've walked up to the line a couple times a day, maybe crossed the line. I don't know. But, you know, we make no apologies for that because we believe that, you know, God gets excited when we're having fun, when we're growing. And let's be honest, when we get real and you see the real side of who we really are, sometimes it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. And all of those things are great attributes of friendship. And so there's one more person I want you to hear from here in just a moment, and this is a little more of my personal stuff as a friend, but also some things that have hurt me in the past by doing some of the things I've been talking about here. You know, 20 years ago, if you would have told me that I would have friends, not only in the church, but friends that actually work for me, I would have told you, you're crazy. That's crazy. I mean, I watched my dad was a pastor. I watched my parents kind of struggle with who can we be friends with, and you know, you gotta not let people know who your friends are. And I actually heard in a class one time, one of my ministry classes, you know, don't become friends with people in the church. It's just not a good idea. I heard that, and the reason was this. They said basically two things are going to happen. One, you know, people are going to get the dirt on you, and then they're going to try to blackmail you. All right, and then the second reason is, you know, the power of your teaching ministry is just going to go in the tank if people see that you really aren't, you know, as good as everybody thinks you are. And I heard those, and it was kind of like this idea of you got to be Moses up on the hill, you know, up on the mountain, and everybody else is way down there, and you're distinguished and, you know, higher than everybody else, and there's a certain mystique around you. I lost that a long time ago, you know, but it was this whole idea that, you know, that if you have a friend on staff or in the church, people just aren't going to see you in that way. And it's crazy because I read the Bible and I don't see that anywhere. In fact, for me personally, I mean, that was one of my biggest problems with becoming a pastor. I'm like, that's not me. I can't do that. I mean, I need friends. I need people I connect with. And so PJ, you know, PJ works for me. I'm his boss, by the way.
Legally, actually, yes. Technically, officially, yes.
But, you know, let me say, I want to tell you that I appreciate you, and I consider you one of my great friends.
Oh, thanks.
I really do.
And, you know, and I reciprocate that. And just so everybody knows, I mean, we make jokes about Kurt's not going to say anything up here that he doesn't say on his back patio, but that's really true. And for us, it's Starbucks. You know, we sit at Starbucks and have conversations about, can he say hard ass in church? And really, I just wanted to say it again. That's why I tell you that. But in all honesty, I mean, it's a real thing. And, you know, if I do something that frustrates him or he does something that frustrates me, whether it's personally or for work, professionally, whatever, you know, we hash it out, we talk it through, and don't let anything stay between us because we want to have a good working relationship, but we also want to have a good friendship. And so that's really important for us.
And you reap the benefit of that every week.
Yeah, and everybody does. Yeah, so yeah. Did I hit what you wanted me to, boss? Like, say exactly what you were trying to get me to say.
No. Encroachment. Encroachment. I'm crossing the line with these cheesy, unsustainable, whatever.
It's not cheesy. It's real.
It's even cheesy for me.
I love you, man.
I get it, though. I totally get it. I'm tracking with you.
Good.
Because,
thank you.
Yeah. I mean, when you come up here and, you know, I've had the privilege of being invited to come up and share from time to time. And so I appreciate when I see Kurt being authentic and transparent, because the times that I've had to come up and do that, I mean, there is like a uncomfortable realness when you think, God is asking me to share some of my not so finer moments with people. And so I get the whole idea of being, you know, transparent, and I can appreciate that. But here's the thing with that. That is totally what fosters life change. Being transparent and authentic is what fosters that environment here at Crosspoint that we're shooting for. I mean, we want to be authentic and we want life change, right? Otherwise, just sleep in on a Sunday morning. You know, I mean, we're going for that idea of, you know, life changing. And when you are transparent with somebody, you are creating that environment. In fact, I'm going to share with you the last time I spoke on a Sunday morning, I got an email that afternoon. And so I had been talking that morning about my rage issues and my love of pitchforks. And so I went home that afternoon, and this is the email. So these are this person's words, not mine, because there's more colorful language in here. It says, "I love that you got real with your own crap, because your crap makes me look at my own crap and makes it a little harder to cover up and justify, which is exactly what I needed this week and for the rest of my life." So bottom line is transparency fosters life change. And that's what we're hoping for. And a touchdown. Yes!
Touchdown!
That's what I needed!
This concludes the winner of the fifth annual Game